Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. It is really an absolute amazing honor to see how many guys are here this morning, considering the unbelievable night we had last night, that you guys are all here this morning, so give yourselves a tremendous... You should be so proud of yourselves, really, that, you know, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Kornsberg, Rabbi Ackerman gave us an amazing night last night. We have such hakar satov to them, to all their hard work that they put into the Shabbaton, and that you guys were amazing last night, came in, Masudar, organized, came in to your rooms. I think it was quiet last night. I know I slept for a few hours, so hopefully you did as well. And so that way, Baruch Hashem, we can have an amazing, amazing Shabbos together, a great day today, an amazing, inspirational night tonight together, and going into Shabbos. So we look forward to that. The concept of making the most of the opportunities is something that's the idea, is that even every moment, as intense as it is, and as tiring as sometimes things are in life, we don't stop. We don't stop. A Jew always goes forward. A Jew always pushes hard. A Jew always makes the most of every single moment. Every single moment. There was a father who was eagerly awaiting the news of the doctor to come out as his wife was in labor. And he's there, he's pacing the room back and forth and back and forth. And the nurse at some point kicked the father out because things were getting tense. So he's there, he's in the waiting room, and he's trying to figure out what's going to be. All of a sudden the doctor comes out, and the doctor says, "Mazel tov, it's a boy." He says, "Oh, so happy." Doctor says, "But there's an issue." "Really, what's the issue?" He says, "Your son, right now, thank God, is healthy." He says, "But he's suffering from something which is going to plague him his entire life, day in and day out, and year after year, it's only going to get worse." And he says, "And it's slowly, slowly, slowly going to sap him of everything. And it's slowly, slowly, slowly going to take away everything that he has." He says, "Really, what is it? What issue does he have? What did, God forbid, what disease does he have?" And he said, "He has life." "Life, what do you mean?" He says, "He has life. And that life is something which is incredible. It's an amazing opportunity. At every moment we can take advantage of it. But at some point life catches up to us. And at some point later on throughout life, which is something that we always have to measure, is going to run out on us." So I ask you, Chavrei, we'll take our first poll of the morning. We'll keep it in small numbers. Right? Not in $1.9 billion, but in small numbers. Would you rather have 5 minutes of time or $5? We'll take a quick poll. Raise your hands if you'd rather have $5. Curious. Raise your hand if you'd rather have 5 minutes of time. Okay. Now, when we think about that for a moment, when we think about whether or not you'd rather have time or you'd rather have the money. And again, we're talking about a small amount of money. It's always important to think about is how valuable is your time? How valuable is your time? I know a principal at a different school that he has in his office a sign up next to his desk how much he thinks every hour of his time is worth. And he doesn't do those activities that are worth less than that amount of money. So imagine how much your time is worth. How much time do you have in this world, and how much money do you have in this world? And think about how often people swap the two. Right? Well, Marshall, imagine the average lawyer, let's say, starts billing usually at around $400 an hour. Right, or Marshall. Let's say a lawyer bills for $400 an hour. If you bill for $400 an hour, and you have to mow your lawn, and you could pay someone $30 an hour to mow your lawn, should you do it? Does it make sense? Doesn't make sense. Right? In theory, you should be working. If you really thought about your time and how much it's worth, it changes everything. It changes the way that you approach life. It changes the way that you think about all of your activities. It changes the way that you conduct every moment of every year of your life. It's something which is so powerful. If you appreciate the value of every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year of your life, if you put a number to that, it changes everything. And I'll tell you, that's in this week's Parsha. The Parsha is called, what's the name of the Parsha? Anybody know? Vayesar, excellent, okay, good. We're paying attention. Here, the Pasuk says, right at the very, very beginning, we call it Chayesara. Does it talk about Sarah's life at all? Not at all. It talks about her death. It's the end of Sarah. It's the end of her life. So what's going on here? Why is it called Chayesara? Right, the Pasuk says, okay, these are the years of her life. Shkayach. That's the years, that's what we celebrate. The death. It's very odd. It's really strange. If you imagine life like a boat. Life is like a boat. Life's like a lot of things. Life's like a boat. Why is life like a boat? If you ever saw when they first, if a person first launches a boat, they have a huge ceremony. They take a bottle of champagne, they break it on the boat, they name the boat. It's very exciting. It's like the birth of a boat. It's very exciting. And they go, they celebrate, and there's music sometimes of these large cruise ships. And everyone's there, everyone's excited. But what about 10, 15 years, 20 years down the road? And the boat's a little bit worn, has some issues, has some mechanical issues. Things start to break down a little bit. And let's say it's the end of the boat's existence. It's time to put the boat out to pasture, as we say. And the boat comes back, and they bring it back into the harbor. Are the same people there celebrating the boat? Are the same people there saying, wow, what a boat, look what you did for the last 20 years. You didn't sink. You carried thousands of people here and there, back and forth. We don't do that. We don't celebrate the ending often as much as we should. In Judaism, we celebrate old people. We love old people. Right? We stand up for them. We honor them. We cherish them. Why do we love old people? Right? In ancient times, in certain cultures, they got rid of them. They didn't take care of them. The Jewish value is that we care about old people. We understand that if somebody especially maximizes their time in this world, we treasure them even more. Like a bottle of wine. If you have a bottle of wine, a cheap bottle of wine, even if you let it sit for many years, it doesn't get that much better. If you have an expensive bottle of wine, you let it sit and age, so then it really gets expensive. Then it really gets expensive. My son took a part-time job working for a very successful person recently, and he said in his safe, he recently bought a bottle of whiskey for $3.2 million. $3.2 million for a bottle of whiskey. Imagine such a thing. So why such a thing exists? Because if you buy something that's already expensive and you let it sit and age, and it was the bottle was like, I don't know, like 60, 70 years old, so then that becomes that much more special. If you let it sit and age. There's a very famous story that at a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael who saw this happen. He was there on the plane when this story took place. Where Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zechasad Vakarash of Racha, the great Rosh Shiva of Tarvid Das, wasn't nifter so long ago, 1986. Rav Yaakov was once on a plane flying with his family and his grandkids, children, his grandchildren, and they're on the plane, and Rav Yaakov was there. His grandkids were a bunch of rows back. And throughout the plane ride, his grandchildren would come into the plane, to the front, and say, Zadie, do you need a drink? Zadie, can I get you a blanket? Zadie, can I get you a safer? Throughout the plane ride, for hours and hours. There was another gentleman, a not Jewish gentleman there next to him, who said to him, around the same age as Rav Yaakov, and turned to him and said, I don't understand. My grandchildren are also in the back of the plane. But not one time do my grandchildren come and say, Grandpa, do you need a drink? Grandpa, do you need a blanket? Grandpa, can I get you something? Why? Why do your grandchildren respect you and honor you? And my grandchildren couldn't care less. So Rabbi Yaakov turned to the man, and again, my Rebbe saw it. He heard the conversation. Rabbi Yaakov turned to the man and said, it's very, very simple. He says, my grandchildren believe that I am so much more special. Because I am one step closer to Har Sinai. I am one step closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you, your grandchildren believe that you're one step closer to becoming a monkey. So they're not any more special. He says, if we value that every moment is a tremendous opportunity. So these are things which are Torah value. Not only with Sarah, we see it also in terms of the quality for life. The pasuk says, right, the beginning of the parasha, Vayu chayei Sarah, mea shana, esrim shana, v'sheva shamim, shnei chayei Sarah. This is a peladic Rashi, an amazing Rashi, you take for granted. Rashi says, what's going on here with the weird counting of her numbers, of her years? Rashi says, kulan shavin letova. All her days were good. Tavra, let me ask you. You all were partial in your honor. You all know the stories of Sarah. Did Sarah have an easy life? Were all her days good? She had a rough life, right? Can you imagine being uprooted from your home, taken away to a far, strange land, not having children for decades and decades, finally having a son? That son said, oh, your husband is taking that son and going to shecht that child. Can you imagine the pain, the anguish? And then she dies thinking that her son was being shechted on the Akedah. Imagine such a hard life. What does it mean? Kulon Shavana Tova. All her days were good? It's unbelievable. The Achronim, Nitziv, and others, B'chaim Shmulevitz, point out the following. A person can have hard things in life. A person can have challenges in life. But if we approach them in a way that every day is maximized, every day, it doesn't make a difference how hard things are, but every day, day in and day out, year after year, I keep pushing hard and maximize every second of every day for years and years and years, as Sarah did, so then I can take advantage and make the most of my life, and even though things are hard, it doesn't matter. Kulan Shavin Latova. Every single day could be absolutely awesome. Can be absolutely amazing if we can maximize every single second. The Gemara in Tzuvos tells us an amazing story. There's an awesome story about Rabbi Kiva and his wife Rachel. The Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva, as we know, was a Baal Tshuva. He didn't know anything. He grew up not knowing even the Aleph-Bays. Rabbi Kiva eventually went off to learn in Yeshiva. He went for 12 years. After 12 years, he came back with many Talmidim, and they're all walking back to his home, right back to his house. He hasn't seen his wife in 12 years. Imagine 12 years, what it's like. Again, no phones, no texting, nothing. 12 years. And he walks back to his house. And as he gets close to his house, that moment, there was a neighbor who had come over to bother his wife, Rachel. And the neighbor had said, Rachel, what kind of husband do you have? This is what a Tamei Chachav is. He leaves his wife for 12 years. Oh, what is ridiculous. This is what it is to be a rabbi. It's horrendous. And she can imagine how she felt. At that moment, Rachel said the following. He says, it doesn't make a difference. I'm so proud of him. I wish he would go away for another 12 years. It's so special what he's doing. It's so amazing what he's doing. He's maximizing his time. He's using his years. He's using his days. So you're not going to believe what happens next. Rabbi Kiva, without even coming in to say hello, to have a coffee, to schmooze with his wife, he hasn't seen in 12 years, but he heard his wife say, I wish he would go back for another 12 years. Rabbi Kiva takes his talmidim, turns back around, and goes back to Yeshiva for another 12 years. However, why? Why couldn't he stop for a moment? Why couldn't he stop for a few minutes and say hello to his wife, have a cup of coffee? What's the issue? The Yisro Gadol, at 12 and 12, is not always 24. Sometimes when we do something, and we keep doing it, but we stop, and we say, you know what? I'm going to learn Mishnah Yomi. I'm going to do it for a few months. But then I'll stop. I mean, I'll pick up here, or I'll start Shnei Mikra, and I'll do it for a little bit. Or, you know, I'm going to wear tzitzis now every single day. But then, you know, we start, this and that. Like, we all have struggles. Or I'm always going to go to Minyan on Friday mornings. But then I miss a few, and then it gets harder. The Kibbutz teaching is unbelievable. You sowed. If you want to maximize your time in this world, be consistent. Day in and day out, year after year. Rekiva felt that 12 and 12 is not as 24. I was just speaking to one of our holy seniors yesterday about how when you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's a 2-year program. Right? Shana Bet is not just another Shana Aleph. Shana Bet is that much more. Because if I have an entire year of learning, and then if I have a productive summer, and then I go back into Shana Bet, it's so much more powerful. It's so much more. Year after year, day in, day out, one thing after another, day in, day out. If we take advantage of that time, it's unbelievable. And we see it's not only by Sarah. The Parsha that continues, also by Avram. At the end of the Parsha, we know Avram also leaves this world. The Pasuk says, Ve'elash yimei shnei chaye Avram. Asher chai be'ish mi'ashana v'shivim shana v'chami shanim. So the Torah tells us, he compares his days to years, right? Ela yimei shnei chai Avram. The same question. Why the days and the years? Well, Avram likewise was the kind of person that maximized every single day. You ever have a situation where you say you haven't seen your grandparents in a while, and it's been, you haven't seen someone in the family, and they say, oh wow, you got so tall. Have your parents, who you didn't see since last night, ever said, oh wow, you got so tall last night? I know no one's parents ever said that to them. Because every single day, it's hard to see growth. It's hard to see how we are pushing and growing, developing every single day. But if we think about it in the long term, and we understand if we maximize every moment and take advantage of that time, we can accomplish amazing things. I'll tell you an unbelievable mitzvah that happened. I saw it happen when I was in 12th grade. I never forget this. It literally is ingrained in me. I could hear the emotions from my Rebbe at the time. When I was in 12th grade, there was a big show. I don't know if you probably never heard of it. It was Beverly Hills 90210. Have you heard of the show? It was a big time show when I was in 12th grade. Everyone was watching it. It was the thing. It was the show. So I'll never forget. We had a boy in our shir named Danny. Danny walks in one morning. And in the middle of shir, you know how it is, like, you're in the middle of shir, Rebbe's learning, Tosos, we're in the middle, and like some guy all of a sudden has an announcement, he has to tell the whole shir, just like out of nowhere, nothing to do with anything. You've all been there, seen that. Right? We're in the middle of shir, like, we're in the middle of a Tosos, we're learning Gittin, actually, in 12th grade. We're in the middle of a Tosos, so all of a sudden, Danny raises his hand. And Rebbe says, yes, Danny, there's something to add. He says, Rebbe, last night, I was going to watch Beverly Hills 90210, but instead, I decided to spend a half an hour and I chazered for half an hour instead of watching the show. Unbelievable. My Rebbe, he was the spot. He stopped. And he goes, that is the most unbelievable thing that I've ever heard. It's very dramatic. And then he did the most amazing thing. There used to be a thing called checks back in the day, where you actually had to write checks before debit cards. My Rebbe took out his checkbook out of his pocket with a pen, and my Rebbe said to him, how much? He's like, how much what? He said, how much can I buy the schar that you got for chazering for half an hour instead of watching the 90210? The guy's like, I don't know. He goes, $100. He goes, right now, give you $100. And the guy, and like, Rebbe's like, Danny's like, oh, I don't know. And over in the shir is like, do it. Like, you know, everyone's like into it. And Danny's like, no, I don't know. But he saw like Rebbe was really serious about it. And so he goes, 200. Everyone's like, do it. And three, he went up to $1,000. He started writing a check for $1,000 on the spot. Again, this is 1994. $1,000. So he said, Danny, I will give you whatever it takes, the amount of Mesir Snefesh that you took because you instead use your time productively to learn instead of watching. He says, there's no amount of money I won't pay you. Again, my Rebbe is not a wealthy man. Right? Everyone's like crazy. Shir's going bonkers. Like, it was nuts at that point. And Danny's like, at that point, he got it. He realized it. And he said, no. He said, I won't sell it. And everyone's like, oh, come on. I was waiting for him to take the check. And at that point, Rebbe He understood. And he also understood that he got the lesson across. He put his checkbook back in his pocket. He was 100% serious. If we understand what it means to take advantage of that time, because time is so precious. The first mitzvah in the Torah is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Why is Rosh Chodesh the first mitzvah in the Torah? Because we know that it's a crucial to have control of your time. The Sforno says that if we understand that when we're in Mitzrayim, we were slaves. We had no control over our time. But then, all of a sudden, we became free people. And the difference between a slave and a free person is that you have control over your time. And you're not a slave to anything. A Talmid in our yeshiva came into my office yesterday. One of your friends came into my office yesterday, knocked on the door, and said, Rebbe, can we talk? This happened yesterday afternoon. He said, Rebbe, I'm very careful with what I use my phone for, but I spend so many hours wasting away my time. Can you help me not waste away the time of my life and help me control my phone usage? He's one of your friends. It's an amazing. We have to recognize that we have so much potential, that there's so much time that can be used productively. We can't be a slave to anything. That was the difference between a slave and a free man. That's why the first mitzvah is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. The very, very first mitzvah. If we understand how special that is. Try to process. Think about how much time people waste. Think about how much time people waste. I'm going to read you a stat that I came across the last few days. The average American spends 250 hours a year commuting. Another 200 hours standing in line. Over a 40-year working career, that's 18,000 hours. 18,000 hours. Imagine. And what do we have often to show for it? It's not that the message is not to not work, not to not commute, not to not stand in line. The question is, what do we use it for? What do we take advantage of our time? I mentioned to some of the seniors the other day we had the Harusa Shaft, the learning between Rabbi Danto Shear and Rabbi Kohn Shear. So I mentioned to the guys a story that happened when I was Shana Aleph, just a few months older than you. It was a Rebbe in my yeshiva when I was Shana Aleph that he walked into yeshiva one day out of nowhere and he was with a bunch of cakes and he said, Chavra, come, I'm making a Kiddush. And he said, this Siyum, and this guy was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. He was so special. Today he's known far and wide in Eretz Yisrael as a Talmid Chacham. He said, Chavra, this is the most important Siyum that I've ever made. He said, because for the last 15 years of traveling back and forth from Ramat Beit Shemesh to Yerushalayim, slowly, day after day on the bus, using my minutes properly, I finished Seder Kudshim on the bus. It's an unbelievable thing. Again, in addition, I'm not saying everyone has to finish Seder Kudshim on the bus, right? But we are on the bus a lot in this yeshiva. Because what do we do with that time? Right? How do we maximize every opportunity? Right? Warren Buffett, everyone heard of Warren Buffett? Warren Buffett is worth how much? We know? Approximately $108.4 billion. Warren Buffett was once being interviewed he doesn't give so many interviews, but he gave an interview once to a woman. She was interviewing him and he said the following. She says, what was one of the keys to your success? And he says, I take advantage of every opportunity that comes my way. She says, really? She says, what do you mean by that? He took out his checkbook. And he said, he handed her a blank check that had Warren Buffett's name and his address on it. And he said to her, write whatever number you want and you can have it. And she was like, you know, again, similar to Danny, hemming and hawing, not sure what to do, back and forth. And she thought he was kidding. She thought he was, you know, and she didn't know what was going to happen if she wrote a number. And she's like, and he's like, too late. And she goes, what do you mean? He said, I would have given you whatever number you wrote on that check. And he said, you missed an opportunity. Every second is an opportunity. Every moment has a price tag. How much are those price tags worth to us? That's the question of how much we want to do. The Chassam Sofer used to give every single one of his grandkids the same present. Many, many grandkids. You know what their present was? A stopwatch. A stopwatch. Let's say a pocket watch. Probably a pocket watch, because that they had, because a pocket watch, or any watch. I know it's hard today. We don't often wear watches, right? But watches are something which is so powerful to take advantage of, to recognize every single moment. So Be'ezus Hashem, the goal is, as over Shabbos, is to think about maximizing our time, maximizing our opportunities. If we recognize and stop and think, how much is our time worth? How much do we want out of this world? And what do we want to be like? Do we want to be like the boat that's well used and uses its moments properly? But we have to treasure those moments. If you want to think about that, we recognize that our daily growth is our days and our years, like Sarah and like Abraham, year after year, day after day, maximizing every single minute of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year of our lives. We can't be slaves to anything which takes away that time, because it's what separates us from our ancestors who are Avadim and Mitzrayim. If we maximize that time and maximize our opportunities, maximize our time in this world, we could become incredible, incredible people. As Hashem, we should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos, an amazing, amazing lives. Have a wonderful day.